Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Everybody, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike. We are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Saturday, June the 2nd. I really didn't think I'd be doing a show this weekend, but late Friday, a bunch of news broke, and we have a lot to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins. So let's get right to it. First and foremost, yesterday was obviously June 1st, and the Miami Dolphins got $17 million worth of salary cap space at their disposal because of the Ndamukong Suh release back in March. So Miami, heading into yesterday, they had almost no space on the cap. I think they had less than $3 million. I don't have the exact number. So yesterday they got an additional $17 million, which put them at around $20 million. But what you have to remember here is the Miami Dolphins have to still sign their rookies, which they signed a few yesterday, which I'll talk about in a bit. And they also still have to sign their practice squad guys. And to sign all their rookies, because these guys now are all slotted, so there's really no negotiations anymore on what someone gets paid and such. To sign the rookies, or to sign the draft picks, I should say, it'll cost Miami $7.6 million. And then they still have to sign their practice squad guys down the road a bit. That's about another $2 million. So, yeah, they're probably at around, $19 million, $20 million in salary cap space. But you could slice that straight in half because half that money is already accounted for with the draft picks and with the practice squad. So Miami, roughly at about $9 million, $10 million in salary cap space at this moment. And like I said, yesterday they made some moves. They signed some rookies. They signed about half of their draft class. They still have half to go. And let's talk about the guys they signed. First and foremost, they signed their first-round pick, Minkah Fitzpatrick. He got a $2.5 million signing bonus year one. His base salary is $465,000. In year two, his base salary is $1.16 million. In year three, it'll be $1.86 million. And come year four, it'll be $2.55 million. And, of course, then way down the road, Miami would have the option to pick up that fifth-year option since Minkah was selected in round one. So he was the first one. And signing guys, high. And look, all these guys these days are slotted, so there's really not much of a negotiation anymore when signing your draft picks. It's not like the old days where guys could hold out forever and fight for every dime. And if you're pick number eighth, you want to wait it out and see what the guys picked seventh and sixth were paid. So you're making sure you're getting some. And you don't want to get paid less than somebody who's picked ninth or tenth, because that makes you look, bad. Those days are over. It's not like that anymore. These guys are all slotted. So signing these guys is usually something that's pretty quick and easy these days. The other draft picks Miami signed, which I'll talk about here real quick, were their sixth-round pick, the cornerback Cornell Armstrong out of Southern Miss. They signed the seventh-round picks, linebacker Quentin Poling out of Ohio, and their other seventh-round pick, Jason Sanders, the kicker out of New Mexico. Now, for these guys, I want to talk about them real quick here. First, let's talk about, let's do this in reverse. Jason Sanders, he is going to head into camp and head into the summer as the favorite to be the Miami Dolphins' place kicker. It's his job to win, or I should say it's his job to lose. Yes, they did bring in another kicker as an undrafted guy. So, it's a little bit of a battle, but when you use a draft pick on a place kicker, you're pretty much saying, we want you to win this job. And he's got a strong leg, got a real big leg, and hopefully he does well this summer. And if he doesn't, Miami will move on quick. Do not think they are going to, just because they selected him here in round 7, pick 229 overall, that they're going to, wait for this kid to develop. It's not. At that position, You need someone you can count on. And for Sanders, he's going to have the first shot at it. Hopefully he does well all summer. He does well in the mini camps and the OTAs, does well in training camp, does well in preseason, because you want to see him win the job because you use a draft pick on him that could have been used on a other position player, not necessarily a kicker. So there's that. Linebacker Quentin Poling, I think he has, I'd say, a 50-50 shot to make the active roster at linebacker. And here's why. Miami's linebacker situation, you know, last year was just an utter disaster. It was a mess beyond belief. This year, obviously, this offseason, it is improved. It's not as bad as it was last year. But I would still say it's not good, and it's still somewhat of a mess, the linebacker position. Obviously, they have Kiko Alonso. You know what you're getting with him. They're getting back Raekwon McMillan. We all think he'll be good. We all pretty much hope he'd be good. But we don't really know because he hasn't really played any at all, really. Then you got the rookie Jerome Baker, who, once again, we hope he'll be good. But he is a rookie, third-round pick. Don't know what you're going to get from him until he's on the field in pads. And then behind him, you got guys like Mike Hall, Chase Allen, and those guys who marginal NFL players at best. And that's where Quentin Poling has a chance to make this roster. If he can beat out someone like Mike Hall and Chase Allen, guys who are borderline NFL players, they're really not that good. For most teams, they won't even make the roster. In Miami, because they're so thin at linebacker, they have a job, which is kind of scary when you think about it. But so for Quentin Poling, that's where he has a shot to make this roster. In years past, I would say someone like him would sort of be in line to make this roster based specifically off of special teams. But with the new NFL rules and how they've sort of diminished the play of special teams in the game, it's tough to carry a guy who's just a quote-unquote special teams guy. You need to be able to play a position somewhat well. And I think that's where someone like Quentin Poling, he's going to have to prove he can play linebacker. He's going to have to prove. And like I said, Miami at linebacker, it's not great. I also forgot to mention Stephon Anthony. So really, Miami's heading into this year with four guys you can count on making this roster. You can count on Alonzo, Raekwon, Stephon Anthony, Jerome Baker. After those four, it's wide open. They signed Terrence Garvin, who, you know, once again, he's one of these marginal NFL players. Mike Hall, Chase Allen, and then, of course, Quentin Poling. So two of those guys, I'd say for sure, or maybe even just one, but I'd say probably two for sure, you're looking out of those four. So Quentin Poling, I mean, it's not impossible for him to make the active roster this year out of camp, but he's going to have to beat out some guys there, and it's going to be a crowded field of backup linebackers, let's just say, because guys like Mike Hall, Chase Allen, and Terrence Garvin, they have a little bit of experience in the league, so we'll see what happens with Poling. The last name is the sixth-round pick, Cornell Armstrong out of Southern Miss. Now, for him, he has practice squad written all over him right now because Miami is so deep in the secondary, so deep, which I'm about to talk about next as with the Bobby McCain extension. It's so deep, especially at the cornerback spot. I just don't know how someone like Cornell Armstrong is going to even make this team. Now, heading into the draft, he was someone who most people didn't even see as someone who would get selected in the draft. So for him to go in round six was a bit of a surprise. Now for him, I mean, look who he's behind on the depth chart. Xavien Howard, Cordia Tankersley, Lippitt, McCain, Torrey McTyre. You have Walt Akins can play a little bit at cornerback. Mika Fitzpatrick, obviously, he's going to play some corner. So I don't know where Armstrong has a legitimate shot to make this roster. But he will probably be on the practice squad. So that's probably his future, at least for 2018. Now, let's stay on the topic of the secondary. Because the big story from Friday is the Miami Dolphins signed cornerback Bobby McCain to an extension. 4 years, $27 million, $13 million guaranteed. So essentially, this is probably, and I haven't seen the breakdown, but you would think this is probably a two-year contract at about $6.5 million each. That, with this extension, because Bobby McCain, since he's been in the NFL, has primarily been a nickel cornerback. This makes him the highest paid nickel cornerback in NFL history. So there's a little bit of history made there. And plus, this week when he met with the media, I believe on May 29th, earlier this week he met with the media, when he was asked about an extension, you know, he was tongue-tied to say, at least it was, yeah, blah, 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 blah. He couldn't even say anything, probably because this deal was already done and they were just waiting for June 1st to announce it. So he didn't want to say anything wrong, which I understand. So it was kind of funny, though, because he was totally tongue-tied when asked about it this week when he was speaking with the media. He couldn't even get a word out because he probably just did not want to say the wrong thing. But so it would make you think this deal was already in place and they were just waiting for June 1st. Now, let's talk about this here. The McCain extension surprises me a little bit. I spoke about this on the podcast earlier this week when he did speak to the media. If it were me, I would have waited. I'm not mad that they signed him now to this extension, and it's not even for crazy money, really. But I would have waited because, well, McCain's been a very quality player since he's been in Miami. He's improved year after year. He's grown year after year, and that's what you want to see out of guys you pick, especially in the middle rounds of the draft or even the late rounds. You want to see them just improve year after year and become contributors on the team. I would have waited to see more. As I said, this is not a Jarvis Landry situation. Jarvis Landry, heading into his final year, was already a superstar player and a great player. It made sense to lock him up 1 year early because in that final year, if he went nuts and had the best year of his life, he was going to price himself out of Miami. That's not the case here with McCain. This is a totally different situation, and you cannot compare the two. If McCain had the best year of his life this year, he would have not have priced himself out of Miami. Miami still would have been able to retain him and sign him at a fair market deal. So the two situations are not comparable, to say the least. That's number one. Number two, while Bobby McCain has improved year after year and is a very good player. He's a good player. He still has flaws in his game. He's still a guy who you can count on and depend on, but you know you want to see a little bit more. And before I invested $13 million of guaranteed money in him, I would have liked to see him just for one more year. That's just my mindset. We'll see though. Like I said, he's a good player. He is. So I'm not that upset with this extension, but I would have waited because would it shock me this year if he took a step back some or if maybe he has already plateaued and hit his ceiling and now we're locked into him at $13 million of guaranteed money? No, that would not shock me to say the least. And again, that's not a knock on him because he's still right now a very good player, but I would have just waited on this one. I don't know. Well, like I said, I'm not that upset about it. It's not the end of the world. What else here? Oh, and it was also mentioned this week that, you know, Bobby McCain might not be the nickel cornerback this year. And he might actually be the number two cornerback. And he might be the guy who starts opposite Xavien Howard. Now, of course, they would slide him in certain spots into the nickel. But he might be on the field more than just a nickel back. He might be the number two cornerback opposite Howard on the outside, on the boundary. That would not shock me either. Because last year, late in the year, obviously, Miami had a ton of injuries. Tankersley, he didn't even play the final three, four games or so. I can't remember. Lippitt was out. So Bobby McCain played a lot on the outside last year. And he played well. He did play well on the boundary. And, you know, if he has a strong summer and a strong camp, and if he outplays guys like Lippitt, and he outplays guys like Tankersley, you're going to want him on the field as much as possible. And with Fitzpatrick now in the fold, who can be a nickelback, Having McCain on the outside opposite Howard, that puts your best guys on the field. And that's what you want. Now, that's not a knock on guys like Lippitt, and it's not a knock on guys like Tankersley, but you want your best guys on the field the most. So Bobby McCain, he might have got part of this payday with the mindset of he's not just a nickelback, and we're going to use him on the outside a lot more this year. And we sort of see him as the number two cornerback on our roster. We see him as a full-time starter on the outside. So if that's the case, then, you know, that makes a little bit more sense, actually, of why they sort of rushed to lock him up like this so quickly. We'll see, though. Once again, I'm not mad at this extension. I think it's fine. If it was just me, I would have just waited a year. Because I don't think, even if he has a great year this year, I don't think he would have priced himself out of Miami. But I'm very happy that they did lock him up, though, I guess. He's a very good player. And hopefully he continues to improve. The one thing that does make you wonder, though, is when you look at Miami's secondary. It's very, very deep. They have Xavien Howard, he's entering year three, young kid. Tankersley, he's entering year two. You locked up McCain now with this extension. You have a guy like Cornell Armstrong, obviously. He's a rookie that they just used a sixth-round pick on. You have Walt Akins, who can play safety and cornerback and stuff. It does make you wonder if Lippitt, after this year, is the odd man out. Because he will be a free agent after this year. Miami has already locked up. They've already locked up McCain as of yesterday. Xavien Howard, after this year, he'll be entering year four. So you have to start to think about him some. And especially if he plays like he did at the end of last year. So Lippitt, could he be the odd man out in Miami? We'll see. But that's something for way down the road and something to just sort of watch over the course of the season and see how he plays. Because if he plays well, Lippitt, if he comes back from century, and if he plays well, he might be the odd man out in Miami after this year. But that's something for way down the road. And just overall, this Miami Dolphins secondary, and I said this all last year on the podcast, you can go listen to all the archives if you want, because I pounded the table and said this all last year, that it was a young secondary that had a ton of potential. And I think that will continue into 2018. I think this group is the strength of the defense. Obviously, you got the line with guys like Quinn and Harrison Wake, and those guys are all fine and good. But the secondary has the youth and has a much higher ceiling to it. Xavien Howard, at the end of last year, was playing out of his mind like one of the best cornerbacks in the league. Bobby McCain, obviously, very good player there. Then you got guys like Tankersley, who had a solid rookie season. You hope to see him improve. Lippitt in 2016 was very good. Obviously, he had the injury. But if he comes back totally healthy and he picks up where he left off in 2016, very good there. Then, obviously, we know what we have at safety with Rashad Jones, who's a Pro Bowl-level safety. Mika Fitzpatrick, who can play a little bit everywhere. He's already got rave reviews from his short time just in OTAs. And then obviously, you have TJ McDonald as the other safety. So Miami's secondary right now is as good as it's been in many, many years. You can probably make the case it's the best it's been since the late 90s, since the days of Surtain, Madison, and that group, because the Miami Dolphins have a young group of cornerbacks who are sort of growing together, improving together, and hopefully they continue to grow and improve. Like I said, Xavien Howard, if the way he played the final four or five games last year, if he can carry that over into 2018, that would be great. Bobby McCain, like I said, year after year, he has been improving. If that continues, great. And hopefully we see a little bit of a leap here from Cordrea Tankersley. He played well last year as a rookie. I liked him probably more than most. But if he continues to improve, that'll only help there as well. And then we got the rookie, Minka Fitzpatrick, who everybody's been raving about. We'll see once the pads go on how he does. But he's going to be everywhere. I think he's going to start at safety. But he'll be at safety. He'll be lining up against guys in the slot. He's going to be lining up everywhere. So hopefully Fitzpatrick, he lives up to the hype. But just overall, the secondary is by far the strongest unit on Miami's defense. You could probably even make the case it's maybe the strongest unit on the team, just because of the youth and the potential with the upside. These guys, you know, they have the potential to be very, very good. Very, very good if they all play to their potential. So we'll see how that goes in 2018. I'm going to take a quick break here. And after the break, there's one or two more things I'm going to talk about. So everyone, sit tight as we take a quick break.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
All right, we're back. And two more things I want to touch on real quick before I wrap up today's show. First is about Albert Wilson. There was a tidbit in the N.A. Barry Jackson article in the Miami Herald everyone should check out. In which he talks about how Albert Wilson has sort of adapted to the Miami Dolphins very quickly. He's taken to the team sort of like a fish to water in that he's picked up the offense very, very quickly. He's picked up the terminology and all that stuff very quickly. And he's sort of just been the model guy since he signed with the Dolphins this offseason. And wide receivers coach Ben Johnson, you know, has just been heaping praise on Albert Wilson left and right since he's been working with him. And one of the quotes by Johnson was, "We're intrigued with the run after catch ability. I think all that has been there. It's been impressive to me to see him come in, pick up the system, and learn these fundamentals that he wasn't really doing the same thing in Kansas City. He's really done a nice job the past 2 weeks." And essentially, Ben Johnson went on to say that they're going to use Wilson in many different ways this year. He's not just going to be a guy in the slot and just be a slot receiver. They're going to line him up on the outside, and they're also going to line him up, too, in the backfield. That Albert Wilson, they're going to find ways to get him the ball because he does have that run-after-catch ability. He does have that blazing speed, and he is a type of guy who you want to create a mismatch for. Because very few people, because of his size and speed, can sort of stick with him. And if you get him the ball, he's going to make a guy miss and then, boom, take off once he gets in the open field. Albert Wilson, he's a guy I would keep an eye on in 2018. Like I said, we had him on the podcast last week. He's a super nice guy. But for those of you who don't know his story, and I want to talk about him more with this, and we're going to have him on again because we've been talking to his representatives a lot here the past week or so. We're going to have him on again. I'm just not sure when. But I want to talk about his story because his story, truly, they should make a movie out of his life because it's just an amazing story. He's someone you want to root for, someone who's a good guy on the field and off the field. For those of you who don't know, Albert Wilson was a foster child, bounced around from foster home to foster home his whole childhood. In high school, he was a superstar high school football player in the South Florida area. He really was. But because of his size, you know, he didn't have a lot of offers. He wasn't getting offers from Miami, Florida State, Florida. That wasn't just because of his size, but he put up crazy numbers playing high school ball. And, you know, he had to fight to get an offer to play in college. He finally got one at Georgia State. He went there as a cornerback, someone who played in the secondary. He gets there, they're like, yeah, we're going to move you to wide receiver. We don't want you playing there. So at Georgia State, he moves to wide receiver. You know, blows up there. Has a very good, he has a very good career at Georgia State. Then it's time for the next phase to get into the NFL. He's not invited to the combine. They don't invite him to the combine. So he has to beg, claw, ask, and stuff. Finally, the NFL combine says, okay, show up, you're in. He goes to the combine. Steals the show. puts on an amazing show speed-wise and all that stuff, does great. And then it comes time for the draft, and guess what? He doesn't get drafted. So Albert Wilson, his whole life, it's been a fight. It's been an uphill battle. It's been, he's got that underdog mentality to him because his whole life he's been the underdog. He didn't have a whole bunch of offers to play in college. He wasn't invited to the combine. He goes to the combine. He does well. He still goes undrafted. And then he signed, obviously, with Kansas City after he goes undrafted. And the rest is history. He, you know, he plays well for the Chiefs, helps them win a lot of games. And this offseason, when he's on the open market, he gets the big payday he's always wanted. And now he's in Miami. So, but when you're that underdog type and that guy, you know, that seemingly everyone's always overlooked, you don't just lose that. Even when you do get the quote-unquote payday, you don't just lose that. That just doesn't go away. He's got that mentality to him. He's a fighter. He's a guy who's never going to give up. He's got, you know, you always hear the reporters say some players in them, they got that quote-unquote dog in them. Albert Wilson's got that in him. He's a fighter. He's got that dog in him. He's a great person on the field, a great person. He does tons of work with the community. He has, obviously, the Albert Wilson Foundation, where he works with foster kids and tries to help them out, because that was his life. That was his whole childhood, being that foster kid bouncing from home to home. So having the Albert Wilson Foundation to work with foster children, you know, it's a great cause. He does many good things there, and he's got the work ethic, because he's a guy who's had nothing handed to him in his life, whether it's in football or not in football. Some guys just have that work ethic, and that's what Albert Wilson has. And it seems like he's only been in Miami, you know what, he signed in March, I guess. But really, he's only been around the team here in OTAs and stuff for a few weeks, and everyone can see that. He's got the work ethic. He's a great guy, and he's working hard, picking up the offense, picking up all the things. They ask him to try this or try that. Boom, he's there. He's doing it. So Albert Wilson, I think, is a guy we're going to see big, big things from on the field in 2018, especially if head coach Adam Gase, who everyone says is an offensive genius, if he is, he's going to find new and creative ways to get Albert Wilson the ball and have him be an integral part of this offense. And I think Wilson, he's going to be a guy that all of us Miami Dolphins fans are going to, he's going to be an easy guy to root for. You know, with the Miami Dolphins, there's some guys you see on the roster, you know, yes, they're on the team. You root for them because you want to see them win. You want to see the team win. You want to see everybody play well. But some guys are just tough to root for. I'm not going to say their names. We know who they are. But someone like here, like Wilson, is going to be easy to root for just because of his story, just because how he was raised, what he went through to get to where he's at today. It's just easy to root for. So Albert Wilson making a great first impression in Miami, and I think he's going to have a huge 2018. Last thing I'm going to talk about, and I sort of talked about this on a podcast on, what was it, the other day on Friday, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald, he wrote another article this week talking about the running backs, and he pretty much, now I said this on a podcast, and he pretty much is saying what I said in that, you know, Drake, everyone just sort of assumes he's the guy who will start, and Frank Gore, because he's older and he's on his final legs in the NFL, he'll be the backup. Well, not so fast. Drake is going to have to earn this job as a starter. And the sample size he has of being a good NFL running back is still very small. Like I said, it's only 4 or 5 games at the end of last year. Yes, those were an amazing 4 or 5 games. And yes, heading into 2018, most likely any reasonable fan would think Drake will be the number one back and start, but it's not a foregone conclusion. And the title of Armando's article sort of says it all. Miami Dolphins running back job is a competition, not a coronation. Drake isn't going to be handed anything. Frank Gore, look, I have questions about his age and how much he has left in the tank. I've said that since Miami signed him, and we'll see. We'll see how much he has in the tank. But if Frank Gore still has it, if he's got one more year left in him, you know, he's probably the better back than Drake. He probably is. So, and as I also said on the podcast the other day, it's not even who's technically the starter. I mean, that's nice to be named, quote-unquote, the starter. It's how the snap counts are split up. And it's about the how many guys get X amount of carries a game. Is it a 50-50 split? Is it a 60-40 60-40 split? Is it a 70-30 split? We're not going to know that till September when the games count for real. But so who's technically the starter? Doesn't even matter. It's who's on the field. It's who's on the field for the most snaps and who's getting the ball the most and who's getting the most rushing attempts. So I think all Miami Dolphins fans, yes, we're all very excited for Drake. And if he plays in 2018 like he ended 2017, then, you know, it's going to be a fun team to watch because he was lights out great at the end of 2017. But it's not a foregone conclusion that Drake's the guy who's going to get the ball 15, 17, 20 times a game at running back and just carry the workload. And then, you know, Frank Gore, he'll come out for his he'll come out and get 5 or 6 carries a game. You know, that's, hold on, pump the brakes. That is not set in stone by a long shot. And Drake, you know, he's got to prove that he's the number one back. Because if not, Frank Gore, you know what you're getting, and he can be a number one back in this league. So I just want to talk about that because I touched on it on last week's podcast, or on the last podcast I did. And now this article here on June 1st by Armando, pretty much, and he talked to some sources behind the scenes. Go to the MiamiHerald.com, read the article by Armando. I'm not going to read the whole thing here on this site or on this show, but the Miami Dolphins are going to play the guy who gives them the best chance to win. And they don't care that Drake had a great 4 or 5 games at the end of last year, essentially, because that was last year. Now it's this year, and things are different, and everyone thinks Drake will be the guy. Everyone hopes Drake will be the guy. And I think most reasonable people think Drake will be the number one back, and that's fine. But, you know, it's not handed to him. He's going to have to go out there and win the job this summer and win it in camp because Frank Gore is there to play. Frank Gore ain't here to just be a number two guy and such. He's here to play, and you know what you get with Gore. He had last year just under 1,000 yards, and he's not a young man. So the fact he did that tells you all you need to know. Frank Gore can still carry the rock, and this year he will want to carry the rock. So Drake is going to have to win that job, and it's not going to be handed to him at all. So that's all I have for today. We will have a new show up on Monday, unless any news breaks that I have to talk about before then. We'll have a new show on Monday. I'm scheduled to have an interview with a national media type, so be on the lookout for that on Monday's show. As always, follow me on Twitter @DolphinsTalk, and if you want to send me an email, you can @DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We got a bunch of new articles up on there right now. We were also at the Sinbad Sports signing with Frank Gore the other night, and we got some pictures of Frank Gore signing autographs from the Sinbad Sports event. Check them out, as well as Sinbad Sports is one of the proud sponsors here of our podcast. What else? Also, be sure to check out the websites that re-air this podcast. They are FinFanatic.com, FinFever.com, TheGruelingTruth.net, and Dolphin-UK.com, as well as the Facebook pages, Dolphinatics, Fanatics, and the Miami Dolphins End Zone. So everyone have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.